Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Firefighters Podcast, where we seek to develop, inspire, and motivate the world of the emergency services operator through a series of wide-ranging conversations. Now, before we go any further, just hit that rate, follow, or subscribe button on whatever platform you're listening to. It's a key performance indicator for us and helps us reach even more people. Now, here's what we've got for you today. The audio that follows is my blog article for my visit to Gore in Munich, in Germany. The title for this piece is going to be built around the rediscovery of commitment and the principle of the waterline. It was an incredible privilege to be invited into Gore. I got to meet so many members of the team. I got to see the factories. I got to see the manufacturing process. I got to see firsthand the authenticity that we do what we say. At several points during the visits, I found myself thinking of and at times articulating the principle of Ronseal, which is a UK product, and effectively says that it does what it says on the tin. That really is exactly what I saw during my time at Gore. One of the most impressive but almost unspoken aspects that I really found interesting during my visit was the fact that associates, team members didn't appear to need any motivation. They didn't need to be pushed. There was no assertiveness put upon them by other colleagues. There was instead a really strong and consistent feeling of commitment. How Gore articulates and lives this aspect of commitment is really refreshing and almost makes me feel quite romantic about how I like to live my life and how I like to hold myself accountable to other people. And what I mean by that is that when you're in Gore and you say you commit to something, that's all that needs to be said. I'm very lucky to be invited into a lot of organizations. And in total honesty, when I visit a lot of other organizations, it's a common part of the vernacular that we are overworked, under-resourced, pushing hard, missing deadlines, trying to catch up. And there's almost a steady backing track of so-and-so's behind. We were supposed to have this thing done, but so-and-so didn't get back to me. So-and-so can't make it today. Not once did I experience any of that at Gore. And that's not because it's militaristic or a dictatorship or anything like that. It's more that people have a very apparent set of personal values. They give them an incredible amount of self-motivation. They're self-disciplined. They're driven to deliver and do the thing that they say they would do because it aligns with their personal values. Everywhere we went, people were on time or early. People were ready. People brought the things they said they were going to bring. People took me and showed me the thing they said they were going to show me. And it was done with a constant, calm, consistent sense of purpose. There was no rush, there was no hurried busyness. There was intentional action. People were where they should be. And it brought such an overwhelming and obvious sense of calm and purpose to every aspect of the visit. And when I pulled a couple of people aside and I asked them about what I was observing, there was this constant theme of commitment. And the commitment side of things really heightens as well this sense of self-awareness. Knowing what you are capable of doing, knowing what you're not capable of doing, knowing what you have the capacity for. In a lot of organizations, you tend to see people that overpromise and underdeliver. Especially if they're new to the business, they tend to say yes to everything and then go through a period of letting everybody down or overworking or losing that balance, that healthy balance. And either their professional or their personal life takes a toll for it. Not once did I observe any of that. People know what they can do and they know what they can't do. They know what they've got time for and they know what they've got time to do well as well, which was a very important point to raise. Nothing was half done. Nothing was less than it should be. Everything and everyone was held to a standard, but held to that standard by themselves, which was quite surreal. And I think one big part of protecting the culture is this aspect of the waterline. And it also walks hand in hand with their ability to protect the product as well. One of the key aspects of Gore is that they have come across a material that is so diverse, so flexible in its use, so many tremendous applications, so many phases and stages of innovation and revolution and reapplication that it's been through. But they have managed to protect the value of that product through what they articulated as this concept of waterline. And I am shamelessly going to steal this aspect of the waterline because what it says to me is that in order to protect this incredible culture, this incredible company that's been created, There are people that have a true understanding and appreciation of what decisions have the potential to damage the brand, to damage the culture, and to damage the continued success of the company. And what other decisions can be given the freedom to experiment? And with experimentation comes an element of failure, because that's how we learn. I think when individuals are new to the company, they are given that freedom and that trust, but there's an appreciation that it will take a period of calibration for them to really understand how important the values and the core principles of the company are. Because a lot of companies have values, a lot of companies have a core code of ethics, they have principles, they have a mission statement that they write on a wall. But most people in those companies can't articulate it, can't remember it, and often it's meaningless. Whereas in Gore, this aspect of the waterline is given to those who can fully understand and have fully assimilated and live the values of the company. So when they're trusted to make a decision, if that decision is something that's below the waterline, then it has the capacity to sink the ship. I heard several people describe their analogy of the waterline, but they all were framed around this concept that we all live in this boat. We're all on this journey together. And there's certain decisions that are above the waterline. And if it's above the waterline and it's mishandled, or there is a complication, or if there's an unanticipated challenge and the decision doesn't go well, or we don't get the desired outcome, then the vessel can sustain the damage. The hole that is punctured is above the waterline. And together as a team, we'll repair it and we'll carry on. The ship will continue to sail through the storm. But if that decision is one that sits below the waterline, then it's crucial that it's given due consideration, and someone with a fully holistic view of the impact of that decision is entrusted to make it. Because if a decision that sits below the waterline is not fully considered, then the potential damage that can come from the result of a poorly made decision below the waterline has the ability to sink the ship, has the ability to send the entire vessel into panic. We'll start taking on water. We will make less progress. We will damage things inside the vessel. And in the worst case scenario, it may sink. And that is such a truly crucial part of sustaining a business and sustaining a culture. Allowing someone inside the bowels of that vessel to make decisions and to impact the teams, the product, the end user, the partners of the company. That is a really, really culturally important part of decision making. And it's so important to recognize and continually reinforce those people who stand on guard at the corners of cultures. It's those cultural architects who make really pivotal decisions that are below the waterline. And when I cast my mind into the first responder community, it's that aspect of brand new recruits in the fire service, the police, the military, the ambulance, making decisions on the incident ground, some of which are above the waterline, some of which will not have a tremendously detrimental effect on the outcome of the incident if they're not executed proficiently. But some decisions, a strategic decision, a tactical decision, do we go left or do we go right? Are we going offensive or defensive firefighting? Are we going to commit to the building? Am I going to send them to the first floor? They're waterline decisions. And if someone doesn't have the requisite experience, knowledge, self-awareness, situational awareness, then on the front line, people will die. And to translate that into a company, the death of an organization has the potential to happen if only one or two waterline decisions aren't navigated correctly. It's funny, when I was traveling back from my time with Gore, I was actually getting to the end of a really favorite book that I've been enjoying called The Ideal Team Player by Patrick Lencioni. And within that book, it has this overarching theme of humble, hungry, and smart. And these are considered some of the skills for the ideal team player. And I know it's easy to connect the dots looking backwards, but this is a template I could easily place over the top of the behaviors that I saw at Gore. Humble, most certainly. And this maps itself onto that aspect of commitment as well that we spoke about. There's always that constant thought of others, often more than just yourself, the consideration of other people's capacity. There was a tremendous amount of acknowledgement when I was at Gore.
as people were introducing to the members of the subject matter experts as we traveled around the factory, people doing testing on the stitching, people doing testing on the breathability. When we went into the rain towers, each individual that I was introduced to was preceded by acknowledging the efforts that they do, the knowledge that they have, the contribution that they make to the organization. And also when they were talking about their partners, this aspect of constant innovation through eliciting constant feedback from the end user, the desire to get better, that aspect of constantly giving praise to the people in the organization, again, to the subject matter experts, to the partners, to the end user, but the ability to take feedback, to take criticism, to take suggestions on improvements for the product, that aspect of humble was very, very, very clear as I traveled amongst it. And there's no two ways about it. When you look through the timeline of the company, they have most definitely been hungry. They are driven. They are willing to work. They have almost a relentless and insatiable desire to find different applications for this product. You know, I saw the stuff that they'd done with the astronauts and NASA and the origins of the PTFE and how it's used in water lines and seals and the applications that I saw with extreme sports and Everest climbs and athletes. And there's just so many places that this product can be used. And the team seem to have like an octopus with eight arms. Everyone is driven to maximize the potential of the company and to share its benefits with as many people in as many applications as possible. But it never came at the cost of longevity either. There's no focus on the short term. And you do see that a lot in organizations. This echoes back to that aspect of commitment, that things are going to be done right. They're going to be done at a sustainable pace. They're going to be checked and rechecked. There's going to be backstops. There's always a willingness to take two steps forward and one step back if we realize that expediting a process is going to come at the cost of the quality. And finally, when I'm thinking about those three, humble, hungry, smart, the smart side of it is actually probably one of the rarest ones and the one that I really saw stand out with the Gore team. And we could term that as professionalism, politeness, emotional intelligence, self-awareness. It's ultimately people's awareness of how their actions and reactions affect those around them. It's the aspect of impact intended versus impact felt. Every interaction I had was done so in a welcoming, professional, gregarious, polite, inclusive manner. I felt like part of the team. I was trusted. I was let behind the curtain. It was transparent. People let me see and ask questions and point and query. And it was very surreal. Again, I visit a lot of organizations where there's very much places you can't go. There's very much people you can't speak to. And that's okay. And I appreciate that's done for a reason. But Gore had a very different approach. You know, I came in, I was treated with respect. I was trusted. And they allowed me inside rooms and inside conversations that I was very surprised to be part of. Things about the product, things about future innovations, think about future products, things about the direction of the company. And I came away from the entire experience feeling like I was part of the team, feeling like I wanted to go back for more, feeling like I wanted to be part of that next great adventure. And the fact that so many people were willing to come and sit down with me and talk about the company, talk about the product, talk about their experiences was really surreal. I'll be totally honest, convincing some people to speak on a podcast is not as easy as it seems. Public speaking globally is recognized as the number one fear, and that's heightened even more so in cultures where there is a lack of trust. But when it comes to the team at Gore, I was inundated with enthusiastic, fun, interesting, passionate, knowledgeable people that wanted to come and talk to me about their experience at Gore, about the projects they've been involved in, about the trust they'd been given. And there was no script. There was no person sat in the back checking what they said and what they didn't say. There was just an overwhelming sense of trust. People could speak freely about their experiences, speak freely about the teams that they worked in, speak freely about their successes and their setbacks, but still with a very realistic understanding of the challenges that are being faced in the market, the challenges that are being faced by first responders, by paramedics, by police, by firefighters, the challenges and the hazards that we come in contact with every day, and how the team at Gore are working diligently, creatively to find solutions to these challenges. In summary, when I was sat on the plane flying back from Munich, I found myself sat listening to an audiobook and staring at my boots. and thinking about how the small things make a big difference. On so many pairs of clothing and footwear that I own, there is a small tag that says Gore-Tex on it. I think for many years, I may not have even seen that. I didn't know what it stood for, I didn't know what it did. I'd never thought about the team, the time, the dedication, the values, the effort, the passion, and the creativity that had gone into what that label stands for and what that label does for me. How it keeps me safe, how it keeps me dry, how it helps me perform every single day in my professional capacity as a firefighter and in my personal capacity, cycling, running, climbing, walking my dogs, riding my horses. I am able to live my life in a more fulfilled way because of that small label. And it left me with a sense of reassurance. It left me with a sense of feeling safe. It left me with a sense of feeling looked after by such a small and often unseen thing that makes such a colossal difference to my quality of life every day.
Firefighters Podcast is put together to develop, inspire, and hopefully even motivate those individuals who have chosen to serve our communities and be part of the first responder family. It's brought to you by myself, Operational Firefighter Pete Wakefield. If you have enjoyed today's episode and you want to see the podcast continue, please head over to our Patreon page where you can support the ongoing efforts of the podcast. Please hit that follow, subscribe, or rate button on whatever platform you're listening to. Please support your emergency services responders, and thank you for listening.